Blog Talk Radio.
There are places in Havana that remind me of Savannah, parts of West Virginia that might as well be Kenya, parts of New York City,
parts of New York City,
parts of Mississippi,
parts of
Tennessee look like another world to me, oh.
Lagos, Nigeria, dial in at 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation brought to you by Looking Glass Entertainment. Thank you for tuning in tonight. I'm extremely excited to get started with tonight's topic. Our topic tonight is healing from a narcissistic mother. I'm going to repeat that, healing from a narcissistic mother. Our question to consider tonight is, are you the daughter of a narcissistic mother? A daughter who doesn't receive validation from her earliest relationship with her mother learns that she has no significance in the world and her efforts have no effect. That's a quote by Dr. Carly McBride. Now I'm going to share an excerpt from a poem that speaks to moving to wholeness. I take back my power from you. I now know who I was, always meant to be. I understand the purpose and the gift of life, my power from you. Your involvement in my journey is complete. Your ego may scorn that I am now filled with light, yet your disowned soul rejoices in oneness, love, and a job well done. I take back my power from you. You granted me the most loving gift any soul could. You catapulted me home to myself. Don't mistake me. That doesn't make your personality special. This took place at a level of souls. Thank you for playing your part as is always intended. I take back my power from you. Because of your help, dear soul, I am free. That's an anonymous poem. Please call in with your comments and questions. Dial 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. So who is this show for tonight? This show is for the daughters of narcissistic mothers, for those who are aware that their mother and those that are yet to awake to this situation. It's quite possible that you could be the daughter of a narcissist. This show is focused on identifying and empowering you to start the healing process to overcome this challenge. We acknowledge that all mothers are not the same. There are healthy ones who are happy to see their daughters thrive from childhood onto womanhood. These mothers are to be honored, cherished for their selfless contributions and love. These are not the mothers that we will be discussing tonight. Tonight's topic is aimed at helping the daughters of narcissistic mothers find their healing so that they can be whole. And now it's time to introduce our lovely and esteemed guest, Michelle E. Dickinson, the author of the book Breaking Into My Life. But here's a little bit more about her before we have her come on. Michelle E. Dickinson is a passionate mental health advocate, a TED speaker, and a published author of the memoir entitled Breaking Into My Life. After years of playing the role of child caregiver, Michelle embarked on her own healing journey of self-discovery. Her memoir offers a rare glimpse into a girl's life experiencing living and loving a bipolar mother. Michelle spent years working to eradicate the mental health stigma within her own workplace by elevating compassion and causing more open conversations and leading to real change in how mental illness is understood in the workplace. Michelle also knows firsthand what it feels like to struggle with her own mental illness after experiencing her own depression due to a challenging life event of her own just a few years ago. Michelle recently concluded her 19-year pharmaceutical career and became an entrepreneur. She has emerged from her own challenging life events with a strong desire to positively impact the mental health landscape within the first responder community, the workplace, and within local communities. Welcome, Michelle, to Awakening the Goddess. We're so pleased to have
you. Thank you so much for having me, Lena. It's good to hear you.
It's great to hear you too. I'm so excited about this topic, Michelle. So let's get started. Okay, so let's talk first. Let's set the baseline of the conversation. So what is a healthy mother?
Well, I don't know, Lena. I didn't have one. No. I joke about it, but like really, I didn't know any different. My mother was sick, you know. I think a healthy mother and a healthy relationship is a woman who's whole and complete with themselves and healing their own, you know, batters and bruises in their life so that they can show up for their daughters.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
They
have the courage to do that.
Right. You
know? So they don't entail, like, hold their daughters, like, hostage or captive because of a challenge that they're facing. They understand that the child needs what the child needs.
Exactly. Yeah. And, you know, life is precious. Children are so... they're so vulnerable, and you know we learn so much from our parents. So yeah, it's unfortunate for the moms that don't heal themselves.
Yes, but I think that I remember having conversations with friends and discussing things, and they'd be like, they would never. They sounded like their mother was much more, you know, giving up support and love and acceptance. And I think that goes toward the healthy mother path, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, growing up with my mom, I didn't know what I didn't know until I stepped inside the family of my girlfriend and witnessed this interaction between her and her mom. And it was amazing. It was just like night and day compared to what I was used to.
Correct. Yeah, I attest to that as well. So let's define and kind of like, you know, give our audience a good understanding of what a narcissistic mother is. Let's talk about the signs and the symptoms.
Well, I mean, for me, I mean, again, this is from my own lens and my own experience. I don't think we can speak in absolutes, right? Like, my mother, she had bipolar disorder. So, you know, her narcissistic behaviors were rooted in an imbalance in her own mental health. So, I mean, it's a very manipulative situation, a very controlling situation, a very, you know, lead the person to think that they're crazy and feeling what they're feeling. And, you know, those were some of the experiences I had with my mom.
Right. And I think I read it, will I ever be good enough? Like, if you say to yourself, I will be loved if, you know, I think when we talk about narcissistic mothers, we're talking about conditional love.
Yes, conditional love. Absolutely. I have to do X in order to get love. I mean, this is something I'm still unpacking as a 49-year-old woman in my life. Like, conditional love is just something that is something that I grew up with. If you do this, you get love. If you don't do this, you definitely don't get love.
Right. Correct. And I think I remember reading also that there's this, you know, this interplay between the golden child and the scapegoat. And the golden child is the one that can do no wrong. And then the scapegoat is the one that's blamed for, like, anything that goes wrong in the family.
Right. Yeah. Yep, exactly. And in my household, because I had two cousins that live with us, that would rotate. You just didn't know who was going to be, I would say, who's on the crap list today? Because if you were on the crap list, forget about it. Like, you were the one that everything was going to hit. And then, like, the next day would be a different one of us.
Right. So, and you tend to lose your own self, your own self-value, your own self-esteem. You don't have that.
Right.
As a result.
Yeah, I mean, exactly. You know, it's funny, you were introducing me, Lena, earlier, and I was listening to you talk about how, you know, I ended my pharmaceutical career and I just started my own company. And, you know, for the first year, I've been struggling. And last year was not easy for anyone, especially entrepreneurs. But, like, I was struggling and I had to reflect why I was struggling. And I had this internal dialogue going on from when I was a very little girl. And my mother would say to me, who the hell do you think you are? And so, so try starting a business. Try starting a business and having that playing in the background.
It's really tough.
Yeah, really tough. But at least I was able to figure out that, like, this is definitely something I can change, and it's not the truth.
And I'm glad that you were able to tell yourself that that's not true. And I think that's part of the conversation, is that you need to kind of talk to yourself in terms of, no, that's not true. You know, really, really identifying what's true and what's not true for yourself.
Right.
Another common symptom was you feel like you're your mother's, like, best friend when you're their child. You're called upon to be their emotional support.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I lived it. I lived it in that, like, my mom, she would have bouts of depression where she was so sick that she couldn't be left alone, but not sick enough to be hospitalized. So in those moments, my father would ask me to stay home from school and just sit with her. And I did become that best friend where, like, I was absorbing everything and being there for her for everything. And it's a lot. It's a tall responsibility to take on.
And it becomes a situation where there really isn't a line of, you know, a clear boundary around this is your mother and, like, and this is you. You have two separate, you know, you're in two different places in life. You know, like, that boundary becomes, like, really, really blurred. As you know, I think you mentioned that you were the caregiver. You know, like, what did that take away from you? during your childhood?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it wasn't anything that I asked for. It was my normal. I didn't know any different. But, like, what did it take away from me? It made me worry. I worried. It was like I was the mother and she was the daughter, and I would go to school and I would be sitting in algebra, and I'd be worrying if she was okay at home. I'd be worrying if what I was going to come home to. Was she going to be, you know, really sick, or was she going to be happy, or was she going to be alive? I mean, that's a lot of responsibility, you know, that I carried, because, you know, she definitely was not well. So,
right.
Yep.
And I think that, it's really sad because, you know, you don't get to experience the normal childhood or the child, as normal as that can be, you know, with being concerned with, like, school and friends and whatever outside activities. So it's so unfortunate. Okay.
Yeah. But, you know, I do look for the gifts in it. I got to tell you, Lena, I look for the gifts in it because it taught me compassion. It taught me understanding. It taught me empathy. I'm on a mission to help people not suffer. You know, suffering is not something I am good with, and it's something that I need to be a force for change around. I don't like to see people suffer. So that's a silver lining, I guess.
Yeah, that is a silver lining. You have a lot of compassion. So that's in a way, that's how it impacts you. It can impact you both positively and negatively, because, you know, it can give you more compassion, and you have to work toward that and then have compassion for yourself.
Oh, self-love and, yeah, self-compassion. Yeah, they say you can't have compassion or love for another unless you have found a place where you can have compassion and find your own self-love within, right? So, yeah, that's definitely been a journey for me, you know? It shows up in my life. Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that, yeah. So it becomes a journey of something that you have to overcome.
Yeah.
So what is the impact of narcissist mother to their child? Like, so what does this set them up for in life? Like, how does it?
Oh, well, yeah, it's funny you should ask. You know, we talked about conditional love before. Conditional love is that you have to prove you're worthy of love, that you just, not by just being who you are, you deserve love, right? As a being of God, we're all worthy of love, right? But if you are raised in an environment where you have to prove yourself or give to get love, that shows up in relationships. And so that has shown up in so many of my relationships, and that's an unlearning that I have to do, and that's a self-love exercise. That's realizing that I'm worthy of love without having to prove myself. You know, failed marriages on my part, you know, gravitating to something that's comfortable versus something that's really healthy for me. And when I say comfortable, it's just familiar, like that, you know, I get in a relationship that's very reminiscent of how my mother treated me, and think it's like an easy chair and it's perfect, when really it's the last thing that's good for me. So yeah, that's how it's shown up. That's how it shapes me, unfortunately.
It's a great exercise, as you said, for learning self-love. And, you know, I think, as you said, that's the silver lining, you know.
Yeah.
You have to kind of remaster yourself and, you know, learn from that situation, even though it was a hard, you know, she's your one of your greatest teachers. And, you know, it's a very hard lesson to learn. But once you can learn it, you're at a place of self-love and acceptance. So that's wonderful.
Yeah.
That's the silver lining.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It is. But it's an evolution, though. I mean, I mean, it's a journey. Let's face it. Life is a journey, a series of experiences that you learn from, or they repeat themselves if you don't get it. And so I've had to repeat a few things because I didn't get it, you know? So it's perfect, but it can be very painful because you just find yourself in like Groundhog Day, like reliving things over and over. So
the process is going from working to love to understanding that you deserve love.
Yes.
So it's like having that moment of understanding that. So,
but honestly, Lena, I still do it. Like, you know, as much as I know, it's kind of like we all know how to lose weight. We know that we should diet and exercise. But the knowing doesn't mean that it happens. You can know all day long what the right thing to do is or what the right thing to eat is, right? But it's the doing. And so I still find myself overcompensating and trying to show my love instead of just being me and being the prize, right? Like we all are the prize as is without having to prove it.
Wow.
But I still find myself having to catch myself and go, why do I think I need to prove my love for you?
That makes me think that there's like in our heads, there's a track that's playing on repeat.
Yeah.
And we have to
on repeat
the track before it goes back to the, you know, goes back to the beginning of the record, you know.
Totally. You're right. For sure. Yeah.
So let's talk about the differences between between narcissistic mothers and fathers.
Okay.
Any thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, like, if you think about it, I don't know. I was always close to my dad. I never felt manipulated by my father. I always felt manipulated by my mother. So I can't really say, like, to be manipulated by my dad because I don't know. What I can say is that the first man that I married was the male version of my mother. Right? So, and the same manipulation went on. The same narcissistic behaviors went on. So it is what it is. Like, regardless if they're male or female or your parent or a partner, it all sucks.
Wow. That's actually pretty powerful that you said that. I think we have a track now from DJ Olasky.
I see money come between my best friend and me.
What I see
old friends become new enemies.
Tell them where you go.
Through a couple of litigations,
I've been
through character assassination.
Try to put that stick in between my wheels, but they can't stop my motivation. Nothing will.
Yeah. Oh, to the valley where the shadow of death is, I fear no evil cause I'm protected. No weapons formed against me shall prosper. Motivation, nothing will. Still. And so I see the valley where the
shadow of death is, I fear no evil, cause I'm protected. No weapon formed against me shall prosper, cause I'm walking with the Heavenly Father. Hey, and I do believe that I'm going to prosper, cause I'm walking with the prayers of my mother.
Of my destiny, not to be less than me, but to be more, so don't question me. I came and I conquered, I soared to new heights and still I explore. In my fight to survive, life's still too bright. Keep my eyes on new sights, I continue to fight. So when you try hurting me, even deserting me, know that I'm designed to overcome adversities. Wanna bring out the worst in me, it won't happen, cause I take responsibility for my action. My tenacity, well it has to be everlasting, cause even when it comes to backstab, I'm laughing.
You won't get the best of me, even though you broke my heart. I'm gonna pick up the pieces.
Stop.
You won't get the best of me, even though you got my money. I'm gonna pick up the pieces.
Excellent track, Brother O. Please call in with your comments and questions. Dial 516-453-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. Okay, we're back and we're continuing our conversation with Michelle. So, Michelle, I want to talk about why should we talk about this? Why should we talk about there being mothers that have challenges loving their daughters and children for that matter?
Well, I think, you know, first of all, it's a lonely world when you have a mother that is narcissistic, right? It can be very lonely. So you have to talk about it with someone you trust, and you have to find like a surrogate female, you know, elders who can fulfill in areas that your mother can't, right? And the only way you can really sort of figure that out is by talking about it, right? Like for me, I found a lot of safety and peace talking to my aunt and to my grandmother. You know, they would give me support, to my girlfriend's mother. So it's like finding those surrogate females in your life, you know, come to the realization that you might not be able to get everything from your mom. You might have to find it in other people. And it's okay, but you have to first be able to talk about it and acknowledge it and accept it for what it is and not try to ignore it or deny it.
Absolutely. And I think that when you and I initially spoke, I said we're going to talk about a dirty little secret, you know, because this is not something that you hear discussed almost anywhere. It's just, I think it's just starting to get discussed. And I remember reaching out to a pastor at the time and talking to him about the situation. And he said, well, you don't have to have a close relationship with your mother, but just don't talk about it, you know, further, sweeping it under the rug.
But then who loses if you don't talk about it? You lose, right? I understand the respect for our parents. I understand that's probably the space that they were coming from, that he was coming from, and you know, we are raised to respect our elders, but not at the expense of you being starved from that connection and that guidance that you need, you know, and support.
Right. And part of talking about this is going toward healing from it. And acknowledging and feeling your feelings, acknowledging it and probably feeling your feelings for the first time. Allowing yourself to feel those feelings so you can move on in the process.
Yeah, I mean, like, for many years, I didn't talk about my mom. I didn't talk about her illness, and, like, my girlfriend's mother found out about it, and, like, I remember her pulling me aside one day and going, how are you? And I was like, I'm fine. She was like, no, how are you? How are things at home? How's your mom? And I was like, oh, we're going there. Okay. And then from that moment forward, I could just be honest, and I could just talk to her, and she was there, and she supported me, and just the extension of her hand to me was so powerful, you know, because no one had really checked on me.
That's awesome.
You know,
gives you permission to, you know, that you can talk about this, you know, not that you need permission from someone, but it's nice to have a safe place, a safe haven. So I'm glad that she was there for you at that time.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, me too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So how did someone become, like, how did our mothers get to the place where they were in an unhealthy place, you know, such as being a narcissist mother or unloving mother, as some books refer to them? As, like, why are they the way that they are? Like, how they get there?
You know what's so funny? I know, but, like, you know, Lena, like, we had a conversation about this before, and I probably annoyed you because I have sort of come to a place in my life where I'm no longer angry at my mom. Even my therapist gets mad at me. My therapist is like, I give you permission to hate her. I'm like, why am I going to hate her? Why am I going to take that energy and hate her? She's passed away. She's no longer here. And here's the deal. She did the best that she could with what she knew, and she was sick. You know, and you have to arrive at the point and say, your parents are a product of their parents, and their parents are a product of their parents, and life events happen, and everyone deals with it differently. And as a child, you don't come with an owner's manual, and they're just trying to figure it out. And I think once you can get to that point and just say, my goodness, like, maybe they are doing the best they can, even though over here it sucks and it's really crappy how they're treating me, but that's the best they have. You know, and I think it's easier for me to do that now because I'm not under her thumb anymore because she's no longer here. And it took me a lot of therapy and self-discovery to even get to this point. But I think we need to take a step back and recognize that our parents don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to be a narcissist. They wake up in the morning with a whole lot of unresolved things themselves and project that onto us.
Absolutely. I think this question goes to understanding, you know, as you're explaining, understanding that, you know, their life may have not been perfect or easy and that they're suffering themselves. So
totally.
That's awesome.
Totally. I know my mom... Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
I think we have a caller in the queue. Hello?
Hi, yes, good evening. It's Jesus from the Jesus Show. Hi, everybody.
Hi.
Welcome. Welcome to Awakening the Goddess. This is you speaking with Lena Blue. Please tell us your comment or question.
Hi, Lena, and to everybody else. Melanie, I think that's right, the speaker. Did I say her name right?
Michelle.
Michelle,
it's okay.
Michelle, I'm sorry, Michelle.
That's okay.
Great topic to speak about, very great topic to speak about for the world, and especially here in North America.
Mm-hmm.
Very great topic because it rises the layers of bondage and the layers of psychological and emotional disorders with us here in this country alone, let alone around the world, but particularly here in America.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very important because that begins, like the host said, the healing. And key word would be understanding, and understanding the suffering and why they suffered, or at least to acknowledge there was some sort of bondage, especially when you look back at the eras and one is able to educate themselves from the spirit of wisdom, not only educating ourselves through research, but through the spirit of wisdom within the human heart, because the heart becomes the way. And that's what's happening with Michelle on her journey. Like many of others, she's able to identify because of self-discoveries that she mentioned in therapy in what's called Black America is looked at as if we don't need it. Because of our adversities and our psychological state and what we have been exposed to in what's called Black America. I don't believe in color, but I speak with those terms because I don't expect everybody to understand us another way all the time. You understand? Because we think differently.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But like what Michelle is speaking about, that would help her children and then the children to come. This is where we begin again to sit at the tables in our homes and to explore each other's imagination, to explore children. Yet one would have to have the spark within to activate that nourishment within. Like,
right.
It isn't a manual as a child, right? So you're dictated. And it all comes together, you know what I'm saying? For the goodness and the grace of God, it really does. All things come together in our despair and our adversities through our darkness. That light within the human heart is definitely the breakthrough in the beginning of a healing process, not only for one individual self, but for the generations that were there prior. Because when we heal ourselves, we heal parents and grandparents that are not in the body, whether you received that or not. You see what I'm saying? Because
mm-hmm.
their essence is still on the planet, which is you,
right.
You know, that we carry.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just such a great topic so that we as a people can begin one day at a time to walk upright on the planet and be guided by the spirit that dwells within us. That was like the opposite of how we lived. The opposite was the way of the world. So I believe scripture says it, be in the world, but not ye of the world. And it is definitely a part of this grand awakening of the human family is exactly what is happening to us. One by one,
mm-hmm.
one day at a time. And understanding self-value and self-worth, ladies. So thanks for listening, y'all.
Thank you so much for calling in. What a wonderful comment. Thanks for sharing that. And can you share when your show is also, Jesus?
The Jesus Show, I believe every second Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That's every second Tuesday at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. Thank you, and God bless everybody, and healing
Thank
and
you.
Prosperity to everyone listening.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. All right. What a wonderful comment. Really
mm-hmm.
appreciate that.
Oh, yeah.
So let's talk about possibly, is there a cultural impact with this narcissism? Or is it just across all cultures? You know, just something to consider. You know, I think
mm-hmm.
that, you know, Let's look at it a little bit differently now. Like, is there a cultural impact that's leading to this, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in my mom's case, I mean, the source of my mother's narcissism was her mental illness. So I would want to unpack it from there and just say mental illness doesn't discriminate, and mental illness is amongst all of us. It, you know,
right.
it's not one or another. It affects us all. If that's the root, and that can oftentimes be the root of narcissistic behavior. I mean, I mean, let's talk about a person that I wound up dating who was bipolar, like my mother, and was very much a narcissist and was very much manipulative and all the things that we're talking about. So I think you got to look at the root of the narcissist. You know, in some cases, it is rooted in a mental illness.
Yes, it definitely is, because we know that mental illness affects all social, economic statuses, cultures. It really doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't discriminate. Everyone is susceptible to it. I mean, and here I was adopted, and I never thought in a million years I would be diagnosed with depression. I was like, no. But life events come along, and they really can take you down, and the ramifications of that could be, you know, a longer-term mental illness and trauma, which is, you know, then turns to narcissism. So,
yes, I think we also talked about that. We mentioned how trauma plays a big role in, you know, the mother's situation. You know, she may have suffered several traumas and, you know, went into possibly a survival mode, and, you know,
right.
And it grew from there.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the suspect with my mom. We think that she did have some previous traumas she never spoke about, and took a while for it to manifest into bipolar disorder, but there at the root of it were some pretty bad traumatic experiences.
Okay. So I think we have a track next, Brother
O. Okay.
Change, but as time moved on, that ugly duckling
563-9133. Press 1 to join the conversation. And we're back with Michelle, and we're going to continue our discussion. So, Michelle, let's talk about tools that can be used to manage your relationship with your mother. How should you expect your mother to respond when you start to manage that relationship?
Yeah, we talked about this a little bit, and I'm glad you're bringing this up again because, you know, I know we oftentimes feel like we have to be always accessible to those that we love and to our family, and we can't say no, right? And for many, many years, I did that. I would get lost in being there for my mother. Even after I was out of the house and I was married and living my own life, I felt very, very much controlled. And, you know, it was a conversation I had with a therapist about boundaries and having boundaries put in place so that it was starting to affect me. It was starting to affect emotionally how I was doing. If I would spend time with her, it would never be enough time. She would want more time. She would cry. It would drain me. And finally, it was like, I have to step back and think about how this is affecting my well-being. As much as I love her and I want to support her and I want to fulfill what she wants, it cannot be at the expense of my own well-being. So, yeah, so I put some boundaries in place and I wasn't easily accessible to her. And it wasn't pretty at first at all. It was quite the opposite. It was very ugly. But in the end, after I got through the initial part of it, it sorted itself out and she started to appreciate the time that we did have together. But it was not easy to try to put a boundary in place with someone who's a narcissist.
So how did she initially respond? What I mean is some people get very angry when you limit your time and accessibility to them.
Oh, yeah. She was very upset. She was very angry. She would call me a lot. She would call me at work. She'd call me at home. She'd expect me to talk to her. She'd expect me to go and see her. She had a lot of expectations that she put on me. And I fulfilled them for many, many years. But then, you know, when I started to pull back, she was really upset. And I had to listen to my therapist and protect myself. Because I couldn't be, you know, crying for hours and try to be part of a marriage and part of a relationship if I couldn't work or I couldn't focus on my life. So, yeah, not easy.
Yeah,
at all.
I remember also being told by my therapist to, you know, keep communicating. And this is for people who could be in a situation now that are still in contact with their mothers, like allow her to, her calls to go to voicemail if you know that she is in an unbalanced state, or have her mm-hmm. communicate with you through text message, whatever your methods of communications are, start to use them. You know, they're at your disposal.
Mhm. Mhm. Yeah, absolutely. 100%. 100%. Yeah.
That's a great thing about technology. We have that now. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Mhm.
So, forgiving your mother. Like, how did you be, how did you move toward forgiveness?
It was not easy. I did a lot of years of therapy that started me down the road, but then I had a mentor tell me, I had a very dear mentor, and she heard me crying one day and I was upset, and she was like, you should go do this program called Landmark Forum. I was like, a Landmark Forum? What is this going to do? Is this going to help me be a better, is this going to give me leadership skills for work? Because that's all I care about. And it was quite the opposite. She was like, go do this program. And I go, okay, fine. It was a 3-day program. Landmark Worldwide is a self-development organization. And I went and I did the program, and I really, that was my wake-up call. That was in that moment, in that 3-day course, I was able to step outside of being at the effects of my mother's abuse and have empathy for her and step into what life was like for her in her shoes. You know, it's really, really hard to forgive someone who's hurt you if you stay looking at the situation from the lens of the person that is at the effect of the abuse. And for the longest time, all I could feel was that I'm at the effects of your ugly abuse. I don't even want to know what life is like for you. But in that program, I stepped outside of being at the effects of the abuse and started to look at life through her view. And that's when I was able to start to heal and find forgiveness and recognize that she was doing the best she could to raise a daughter and navigate a mental illness. And that gave me a lot of compassion and respect for her.
Thanks for sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
I think sure. We have a caller, our second caller, caller number 2 in the queue.
Yay.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to Awakening the Goddess. This is your host, Lena Blue. Please tell us your name and your comment or question.
This is Tara Strength. I'm really enjoying the show. You have an outstanding guest tonight, and I'm glad she's talking about this topic. I just have one question. I want you guys, I don't know if I missed it, but I want Michelle, to go over how do you know, like, what are some of the signs that your parent or friend or whatever is a narcissist that we can look for? Because sometimes if there are 10 steps or 10 signs to know that, maybe they exhibit 8. How would you know? What are the core signs that you're dealing with a narcissist?
I guess my question back to you, and thank you for that question, would be why do you need to know if it's narcissism? If they're not treating you right, if they're not treating you and it doesn't feel good, your interaction and your relationship, it could be a whole host of things. So I guess trying to get to the conclusion that this is a narcissist, therefore equals whatever, it's really around, how do I feel when I'm with this person? Are they respecting me? Are they manipulating me? And am I less depleted? Am I less depleted when I step away from you? And if that's the case, then you got to start thinking about protecting your energy. So I don't know if you really need to know if they're narcissistic or if they're just mentally unwell, right? It's about your interactions, how you're left feeling, and what you need to do to protect you and your energy and your heart.
Got it. Okay. Very good point. Okay.
Thank you for calling in, Taris. You know, Taris Strength, and we know that you are the 2020 linear new host of this year of the Tara Strength Show. Tara Strength, no, you're right.
Nice.
Thank you.
Thanks for your question.
Thank you for your questions.
And I think now we have another track.
Let me tell you why.
He is so real, and I love the way reflection of him. And I must be fly, because his light shines so bright, I wouldn't lie. I remember the very first day that I saw him. I found myself immediately intrigued by him. It's almost like I knew this man from another life. Like back then, maybe I was his husband, maybe he was my wife. And yeah, the things I don't like about him are fine with me. It's not hard for me to understand him, cause he's so much like me.
So much like,
and it's truly my pleasure to share his company. And I know that it's God's gift to breathe the air he breathes. So it's true that he is so real. And I love the way that he makes me feel. And if I am a reflection of him, I must be fly, because his light just shines so bright, I wouldn't lie.
Michelle, we want to have your final thoughts, if you want to share and share how we can reach you as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for this courageous conversation, Lena. That's what this is. It's a courageous conversation. I'm sure that, there are so many people who might be impacted by someone who's narcissistic, and they're feeling like they're the victim, and I just want to encourage people to take back their power, learn to love yourself, learn to create those boundaries, and nurture yourself and care for yourself and protect your heart. That's so important. We definitely deserve it. We deserve it as human beings, as daughters. So feel free to reach out to me. On my website, I'm happy. I love hearing from people who hear me. So I don't know who's hearing me, but I love to hear from people who hear me. So my website is Michelle with two L's, E, Dickinson, DICKINSON.com. Feel free to shoot me a message. I always welcome messages from people. And then on Instagram, you can reach me at Michelle Dickinson 71. I'm always posting inspirational and mental health related content there. And thank you so much, Lena, for reaching out and inviting me on. It's been a pleasure.
It's been my pleasure to have you. I think we have another caller, caller three in the queue.
Hey, peace. Listen, how y'all
welcome.
Doing?
Hello.
Welcome.
right. Just this is the master sound therapist, Huni Bakatun, a.k.a. the Magic Man, just calling in to show some divine love and support. Very interesting subject, especially from a point of view of myself, and trust me, as a master sound therapist, I do my best to offer comprehension and healing to as many people as I possibly can. But I also have to reflect on the type of mother that I had. And throughout my travels, I know, especially today's generation, I'm running into a lot of really, really challenging relationships that children once had, especially with young men, young black males, as well as young black females, for lack of a better word. And doing my best to comprehend it, and trust me, I'm really, really, you know, looking into reevaluating a lot of stuff on why there's so much resentment, you know. So I definitely give thanks to this show, and looking forward to purchasing and learning more about you and what you put out in the form of a book. Thank you so much for coming on, being a very special guest here at O&E. Okay.
Thank you. That's so sweet.
Huni, can you tell us your when your show will be on next?
Yes. I'm the host of We Will Aware You. The show should come on. I know it should be the middle of next month. I like to do what's called advancements, no more time for lessons. And like I say, yeah, the name of it is We Will Aware You. And I cover a variety of different subject matter and content. But I definitely am a proud supporter of your show and looking forward to your shows getting greater, okay?
Thank you so much for the support.
You're
International.
Welcome.
Brother Huni is the 2020 International Internet Radio Hall of Fame Broadcasting Enshrining. Brother Huni, thank you for calling in and your wonderful comment.
Hey,
wow.
Thank you. Thank you for the acknowledgement. <All right. laughs>
I think we have a negotiating time.
Well, first of all, Michelle and Lena, what an outstanding show. And I look at narcissism in a positive and negative way. My mother was a tough cookie. My mother didn't allow me to hug her or kiss her, really, because I guess she always thought I was trying to con. You know, my mom was a woman of the streets. You know, so she found the Lord and all that. But she's a woman that really, really didn't put up with no foolishness. And, you know, she was street smart as well as book smart. And a lot of times, you know, yeah, she let you know that she was the queen bee. You know what I mean? And you got to work at your craft, whatever that craft's going to be. She did have an ego. She let me know that, and I'm thankful for that positive way of toughness, you know, that tough love. It didn't affect me in any relationships because, you know, I love women, you know what I mean, you know, and it never affected me in any relationships. I don't always knew how to, because out of the woman, I was able to get that affection, you know what I'm saying? Until my mom's dying day, she was this really tough cookie, even, you know, when she was passing away from pancreatic cancer and all that trunk. In that way, she still was tough, and I praise God for my mom. I needed her. I needed that type of mom to be the strong man that I am today. And I'm not one of these guys talking about, oh, my mom raised me. I was, you know, she was a single parent. No, no. There was no dysfunctionality in my house. I had a strong father as well, a charismatic father that knew how to talk and relate to people. So my determination and never quit and never die, and you're not going to beat me in nothing, is mom. But my dad was the person who is a diplomat and allowed me to go to another level of greatness. So I thank both my parents tonight. And, of course, tomorrow night on these stations, it's all about that business. You know, getting yourself together, getting your life right. And tomorrow night, our wonderful business analyst to O&E Dynasty, the wonderful E. Davis. Topic, Work the Network. And our special guest, Bernard Alexander, tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time on these O&E stations. And, of course, Beverly Nation has advertisers only, which is on the belly, and goes the enterprises. Reaches, of course, at www.thelookingglassentertainment.wordpress.com, as well as and goes the prime time one at bevnet.com. We're in Ngozi Time both for Twitter and Instagram. On Lodelli and Ngozi at Pinterest and Google Plus. On Lodelli and Malay and Ngozi at Facebook, as well as our business page, Awaken the Goddess, as well as the historic Beverly Nation Online Radio, established 2013. Any comments, suggestions? So our wonderful program tonight, Ole Dele. God and Ngozi for mine, gmail.com, and I am your mother and father's favorite producer, on Lodelli and Malay and Ngozi, saying good night and good luck to all the folks out there in Armed Force Radio that support us on a constant basis. And now, the wonderful Lena Blue. You have 2 minutes left to go in this program.
Thank you, Brother O. I just want to say that having a narcissistic mother is a challenge, but it can be overcome once we acknowledge our situation. And it's okay to talk about it and find your voice. And it's also okay to get support that you need. I also want to leave a couple book references. First and foremost, Breaking Into My Own Life by Michelle Victoria, and Mothering Without a Map by Karen Black, How to Be a Good Mother. Also, Will I Ever Be Good Enough by Dr. Carol McBride, PhD, and Mothers Who Can't Love, A Healing Guide for Daughters by Susan Forward. Online resources, you can find information at www.daughtersofnarcissisticmothers.com. We'll find a lot of resources there. And lastly, I thank you for listening, calling, and joining in the conversation tonight. Feel free to reach out to me via Facebook at Awakening the Goddess with Lena Blue, or on my website at https://awakeningthegoddessshow.squarespace.com. And lastly, remember to love yourself and everyone and everything. Thank you.